Today on The Journey.
We want children that are respectful. So today we want to start with respect. What does it look like to model and mentor respect into the lives of your children? And we're going to talk about six ways to do that.
How can you effectively imprint the important things on your children's souls? Those things that will define them and determine their success in life. Ron Moore and his special guests tackle that question in this program so that you can imprint on your children honorable ways of living. Plus, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's devotional booklet titled Garments of Grace. In it, you'll discover 8 items of spiritual clothing God wants every believer to wear. Garments of Grace is available as a digital download for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest for part one of their discussion titled Respect on the Journey.
Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today will be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. These verses remind us that as parents, we need to impress or imprint on the lives of our children the things that matter the most. Those things that matter for eternity. And that's why we believe this series on parenting, we've titled Imprint, is so important for parents. And joining me for this special parenting series is Dr. Bob Fredo. Dr. Fredo has been a teacher and a coach and a principal at the elementary level, the middle school level, the high school level for over 30 years. And Bob, these verses in Deuteronomy, they really set the foundation for what we call modeling and mentoring. And the last time we talked about what it means to model and mentor, just to remind our listeners the framework that we're using for this parenting series.
Right. Modeling really refers to those things that our children see us do, the routines we have established, basically how we go about living our lives. And it's those things that are observable, that come to mind when they see us living out our lives. On the other hand, mentoring is referring to those things that are more relational, the time we spend with them, how we reinforce those things that they see as model. So it really strengthens the imprint that we have through our modeling. Mentoring is complementary to modeling. And really, the combination, when done well, is powerful. It's like an enriched version of show and tell.
Right. So show and tell, we talk about that. And I know as a former educator, you certainly get that from early on. We want to make sure that our kids see what we do and they hear what we do. And we know that when they see something that is contrary to what we've told them, it really nullifies what we're trying to teach. There are 5 principles that we are looking to teach our children in this series: respect, responsibility, honesty, compassion, and integrity. We want children that are respectful. We want children that grow up to be responsible. We want honesty to be a part and parcel of who we are. Certainly, we want to develop in the lives of our children compassion, and that wholeness of integrity is so important. So today, we want to start with respect. What does it look like to model and mentor respect into the lives of your children? And we're going to talk about 6 ways to do that. But the first thing I want to do, Bob, is just to set the framework for this aspect of respect. In the Old Testament, the word respect is often translated with the word honor, and it means to be weighty. It's found in the 10 Commandments. So honor or respect your father and your mother. That means you treat them with weight. You treat them with importance. You treat them with admiration. And because you honor them, you do what they tell you to do. So it's not just an emotional admiration, but it's also doing what they are instructing you to do. In the New Testament, there are 2 words that are often translated with respect, and one word provides a sense of reverence and admiration as well. The other gives a sense of excellence and is used to describe something of great price. And so we have with this word respect in the Old Testament and New Testament, something that is meaningful, something that you treat with great value, something you admire, something that you put great weight into. And when we talk about developing respect for our children, there are certain things we want them to admire and do with excellence and respond to in the proper way. So let's talk about this aspect of respect and how children need to respect the things that God has placed in their lives. And let's start with God Himself. How can a parent model that respect for God?
The character traits we're talking about really flow from the heart and then spills out or is evident through our conduct. And we want that to be evident through our conduct because it's what we love. It's what we care about. In doing that, we want to demonstrate lives that show spiritual consistency, that going to church isn't something incidental, but being a part of a church is really a part of how we live our life. So a culture in the home would be one reflective of worship, not just when we go to church, but also the patterns of our living at home. Those times where we're in prayer, the times that we spend time together in devotions and so forth.
That's important because there are a lot of people who, when we're talking about teaching respect for God, there are a lot of people who say, we're going to church today. And we go to church and we sing the songs and we listen to the message and we interact with other people and we kind of have our church face on and we're doing things that you do when you go to church. But if we go back to our homes and that respect for God isn't there, there really is a double standard. And our kids just, they pick that up just like that. They see that double standard, they hear that double standard, and they begin to think, what really do my parents believe? Because I hear them say one thing, I even see them act a certain way at church, but it's totally different at home. So this modeling and mentoring goes back to this framework. If we're going to show respect for God, it can't be a game we play at church. It has to be, as you said, worship in our home as well.
Right, so situational ethics or character, however you'd want to phrase it, it's still duplicitous for one way to describe it. But we want to be clear, too, that we're not perfect people, so it won't be the presence of perfection, but enough consistency that children don't see it as contradictory.
And when we do drop the ball, when we do things that are out of that consistent pattern, then we need to let our kids know that. We're not perfect. We're sorry for what we did. We're sorry for the Lord. We're going to ask His forgiveness, but we also want to ask your forgiveness. And I'm talking about parents asking forgiveness from their children. We're teaching just as much in modeling and mentoring when we go to our kid and say, man, I just screwed up royally. Please forgive me. I am really sorry for what I did.
So it's a good time to emphasize this, not just modeling, because if we relied only on what we model, our children would see some things that would leave them wondering, that you're not behaving in a way, you're not acting in a way that's consistent with what you tell me you believe in. So that's why it's modeling and mentoring. The mentoring aspect is just as important. Those times where we show humility and clarify for our children why they might see some contradiction that might at least give the appearance of contradiction, but through communication and conversation, it can be clarified so that the child can understand in this situation how this applied. Because sometimes there are situations where there are competing right things to do, right ways to act, and that requires an explanation.
So I remember one time sitting on the back deck with my son, Garrison, and Garrison would take these classes, and we would always call you and say, Bob, what about these classes that he's taken? Can he handle these? What are these classes about? There were some math classes. Garrison was good in math, so there were some advanced math classes. And I remember sitting on the back deck, and he was not doing well. And I blamed it on you because you said he could handle it. So right. I said, what was Dr. Fredo thinking about? No, not really. I said, Garrison, what are you doing?
What I meant was with the right mentoring. Right,
right mentoring at home. Yeah. Right. So I remember sitting on the back deck, and I was angry. And I was angry because I didn't feel like he was applying himself. And I'll never forget, we have a back deck, and then there's a sliding glass door, and it's pretty heavy. And I was so angry. I want to say I was frustrated or I was indignant, but I was angry. I pulled the door so hard that the door came off its hinges. And I remember standing there with that heavy door in my hand, trying to figure out how I was going to get back on the rails with Garrison watching. God has to have a sense of humor, and he certainly has a great way of teaching us. And I'm holding this heavy door in my hands, and God's like saying, look at yourself. Are you demonstrating respect to me? And are you demonstrating respect to your son? He may not be performing up to the standards he needs to perform, but what you did is wrong. And so I had to ask God's forgiveness. I had to get that heavy door back on the rails first. And I had to go back to Garrison and say, Garrison, you're not performing well, but I acted poorly. I did not demonstrate proper respect toward you.
We all have a similar story, I'm sure, but I'm glad you shared yours. It will save me from having to share mine.
But our language, the way we act in front of our kids, again, not perfection, but always going back to let our kids know, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done it that way. When our kids get older, and I did this with the kids when they were older, hold me accountable to that. If you hear me saying something that is not in line with what I'm teaching, if I'm showing you something that's not in line with my mentoring, then tell me so we can work through that together. We're talking with Dr. Bob Fredo, and we are focusing on parenting, this tremendous gift and responsibility that God has given us. We're talking today about teaching our children respect. Now, this is a tough one because we want to make sure that we are living a life of respect to God first, and that's where we've started. It's not only just going to church, but it's demonstrating that respect in the home as well. So we have that respect for God. And then, Bob, we want to teach our children how to respect other members of the family. I want to talk to mothers first, and then I'll talk to dads. Mothers, it's going to be extremely difficult for your children to ever respect their father if you don't respect your husband. Fathers, it's going to be impossible for your children to respect their mother if they hear you constantly criticizing her in front of them, and maybe sometimes in private. There's not a lot of private places in the home, and they hear you arguing to the point where you're saying something foolish. Will they hear you having a discussion with their mom or dad? Sure, that's inevitable, right? We're human. And I think for them to hear people disagree in a positive way, that's important. That's part of the modeling and mentoring. But you can do that with respect. You can talk to people and have a difference of opinion, but do it with respect. Ephesians 5:33 says, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So this aspect of respect has to be going on in the home. Bob, I want to get to respecting siblings, but I want to say one more thing about the mother-father relationship. And I know many listening are in blended families or step families, and that means that you have stepchildren and their mother or father may not be in the home, right? Maybe they have their own step family or blended family. As a stepmother or as a stepfather, you have stepchildren and they have another mother or father, and you can never speak ill of that person. That's their mother. That's their father. And you have responsibility, certainly, as a stepmom and stepdad. But one responsibility for sure is to make sure that you treat their biological mom and dad with the respect that they deserve. And that may be hard, and that may be difficult, and I know there's a lot of complexity in blended families. But you need to do that, and you need to make sure that you don't put your spouse in a difficult situation where they have to choose between you and their children or between you and something they have to do with their ex-spouse. A lot of complexities, but this respect is critical in that area.
I'm imagining the listeners are thinking, is it really as complex as it sounds? It's as simple and as complex as it sounds. Mm-hmm. And really brings to mind what we'll touch on later is we really have to be continually preparing ourselves, because it takes a person who has a heart for God, a person who really wants to do the right thing, who wants to parent in a way that reflects good character, to be on point in those tough times with parenting. And it doesn't have to be a blended family situation. It can just be a tough day at home. stressors of modern life. Well, certainly if we plan out how we want to parent, we know the right things to do. It's executing it mm-hmm. where we sometimes get ourselves into trouble. So even if we're short on our energy, even if we're short on our time, we still have to be good parents and communicate well with our children during those times. That's where the rubber meets the road.
And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, the planning of that, because we're never in the perfect mood. It's never the perfect day. There are always challenges out there. There's no day, at least I've not had one yet, where everything has gone right. And you can catch a person at the wrong time, in the wrong situation, in the wrong mood, extremely tired or whatever, and we can say some things we shouldn't say. So planning a good day of parenting is critical for this aspect of respect. Bob, how can parents teach their siblings to respect each other? Now, you led some large schools, and you taught respect among classmates. And that's challenging because you got different personalities and different kids and different cultures coming from different homes. So talk about some basic principles of teaching kids how to respect each other and then drive that down into the home.
Really, as parents or as a principal or as a teacher, we want to be about promoting a culture of character, one that is reflective of kindness and has a clear message of this is how we treat one another in this home. This is how we behave in this school. So it's very clear that these are some things that are non-negotiable. We always speak kindly. We always want to have these principles in play. We show respect by, and then not just telling them to do it, but showing them how to do it. Going back to the modeling and mentoring model, mm-hmm. show and tell. Depending upon the age of the children, you may have to model differently. You may have to tell them more. You may have to be more specific, but you need to do it. So it's not a matter of whether or not you do it. It's how you do it.
So we're going to talk about this aspect of developing respect in the lives of our children. And at the end of the day, we want our children to be respectful of an employer or, God willing, they own their own business. We want them to be respectful of employees. I believe respect begins at home with parents teaching their children how to respect a teacher. They're going to school, that first foreign entry of influence, right, is our teacher. And so if your children are in public school, you deliver them to school or you put them on a bus, and all of a sudden there's another person influencing your child. And that's a little unnerving for right. a lot of parents. That's tough.
They come home and say, my teacher said.
And it's got to be the gospel that right. their teacher said it.
Right.
So this aspect of teaching our children how to respect their teacher, I believe, is critical, and I believe during these years in school then transfers to respecting an employer and then throughout life. So how does a parent teach their children to respect the authority that their teacher brings into their life?
On the modeling side of things, it's really important that parents, adults in the home, keep in mind the importance of being really discreet about how you talk about teachers or authority figures, as the case might apply, because the children are very keen observers and they will pick up on that. So if they sense a disrespectful tone or an attitude towards the teacher, then in a way it almost gives them a license to feel the same way because they love and respect their parents and therefore they feel that they're entitled to have that same attitude. And that's not usually what the intent of the parent is in those situations. They're just not being careful about how they're communicating. So it's really important. I've seen that overflow into the classroom in ways that present problems that, well, let's say we could trace it back to the home sometimes. And that's not to say, as parents, you don't disagree at times with mm-hmm. maybe what a teacher said or a certain way they run their classroom or how an incident was handled. That's likely to be the case. But being discreet about how you communicate about that and with whom you communicate about it, much of which doesn't really need to be discussed with the child.
So I got a question for you. As a school administrator, let's say I'm having an issue with a teacher, something they're saying or the way they're teaching or an attitude or whatever, name it, but I get this issue with the teacher. I should go speak with that teacher. How should I bring my child into that conversation? Should I take my child with me to speak to the teacher? Should I go speak to the teacher alone and then talk to my child about it? How can I teach my child through this situation, even when they disagree with someone, how to demonstrate respect?
Well, qualify the answer in that it depends upon what the topic is, the age of the child. So there's some discernment involved there that I can't really speculate on, depending. But let's say that the child is old enough to understand the salient differences of the situation. And that can be very young, even in primary school. I wouldn't say that primary is too young to start that in terms of involving them in the situation. But as a parent, you have to use the discretion to include them in a way that's very judicious. You may not share everything you say with a teacher with the child, but you give them a summary version and say, we're going to go in together the next day, and we're going to make sure that we're really clear on how we're going to move forward with this issue so that we don't repeat this situation again if it involves the child. If it really only involves a disagreement between the parent and the teacher, then it should just be left between the two, and the child shouldn't know anything about it.
So you want to be very judicial, as you say, in making certain your child is, depending on the age, not there when you're having the discussion with the teacher, but going to go back to the child and discuss the situation, what solution you came to, and do that with respect, demonstrating that you have great respect for this teacher as a person, even when you may disagree with some of the methods.
Right. In many cases, it's just something that needs clarification, because most parents understand the role of the school and the teacher. It's a different domain than the home. The teacher has some latitude to have rules that may be somewhat contradictory to the home, and that's okay. But understanding what those boundaries are just requires some communication and clarification sometimes.
So I remember our kids would come home and they would say, Mrs. So-and-so, she said this, this, and this. And I would say, oh my goodness, did she really say that? Because if she said, I need to call her right now.
Right.
And I need to let her know that she can't say those things. Well, I don't know, maybe she didn't say it just exactly right. Like that. So a lot of times our children come home and maybe exaggerating just a little bit on what happened.
Right, they're paving the way sometimes, a little smoke screen for what they're going to tell you next that happened.
Yeah, right. Setting us up for the real story.
Right, soften the blow a little, right?
So teaching our children how to respect their teachers is critical, not just for first grade or second grade or third grade or 10th grade. It's critical because when we teach our children how to respect a teacher, we are teaching them how to respect authority in their lives. And in all of our lives, we're going to have authority. Someone's going to be over us. We're going to be reporting to someone. We're going to have to answer to someone. And it's important from early on that we teach our children to do that. Sometimes we think our children are just going to get it. But I think as parents, we got to remember they get it from us.
Right.
We're the ones teaching it to them. And that's the great responsibility of a parent.
And Ron and Bob will continue their discussion of show-and-tell parenting in our next broadcast. Please stay with us for a preview of that conversation. When wanting to look your best in public, do you care about the appearance of your clothing? And the same question could be asked of your spiritual apparel, especially of those garments God has provided by His grace. They comprise an 8-piece ensemble made of heaven's finest virtues. You'll find that collection in Ron's PDF booklet titled Garments of Grace. In Garments of Grace, Ron describes each piece and how it's to be worn for God's glory. But here's a warning. When you don this wardrobe, you will be conspicuous. In a world dressed in filthy clothing, torn and tattered by sin, your attire will shine like the stars. Garments of Grace is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Bob for a preview of our next broadcast.
Use good manners and common courtesies. It's not the end-all, be-all, but they're very important. They're foundational to having a heart of respect. So let's not overlook that. Let's really promote good manners and common courtesies.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to get your copy of Ron Moore's digital devotional, Garments of Grace.
In its pages, you'll discover spiritual apparel for the well-dressed Christian. Garments of Grace is yours for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.